like trouble, unless I've caused it. Watch out, world, because I'm shining brighter than ever. Life is a journey, not a competition. Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. Champagne is. I'm no fool, but I don't mind acting like one.
Fake news I can handle. Fake people, not in this life.
Keep your standards high and your stilettos higher.
Hello, friends, and welcome. It's we're back, the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk. I am Steve Malk.
And I am Nick McLaughlin.
And look at us go. We are so professional. I think we're even live on Instagram this time, Nick.
Did that happen?
Well, I think so.
We
won't actually know until the next day, but if somebody can tell us if we're live on Instagram, that'd be great. I've worked hard to make it go. Technology has not been our friend. Nick, now I'm on the road today. I'm in our
studio,
which is, mate, out here.
The Gilgandra office.
Someone who has 8 kids and is chained to the sink.
Nice backdrop you've got going on there. Plus.
I know, how great. Those blinds haven't gone down further than that since 1976.
Why would they need to, honestly?
Anyway, I mean, apart from this, are you well, Nick? There's so much we have to get through tonight.
Look, I'm well. What a week it's been. What a week. And,
what a week indeed. And confirming, the excellent Matt Croft has confirmed that we are live, at least on Facebook, but I think also we're live on Insta. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Good on you. But, big week in many ways, and we're not talking about lockdowns this time.
No. No.
Which makes a nice change.
There's so much that we need to get through that we really need to get through the business at the top, and that is that, Nick, where can people find us if they want to follow us or connect with us?
Well, with any luck, they are currently looking at us on Facebook at the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk.
Just like on the bottom there.
Again, the technology. They can also find us now on Instagram, which is going gangbusters, guys. Like some of the ladies, some of the housewives even commented, liked this week. Look, I'll take a like.
Week two.
Honestly, it's a crowded market there for housewives' Instagrams. So any inroads we can make, I'll take them. So we are there, and we are on the Twitters individually.
Yes,
we do not have
at Steve
Real Housewives
at Nick McLaughlin. You can find us there all of the times we're talking about the housewives. Now, friends, I did admit to say this. I'm such a bad podcaster. I was overtaken by the glamour of live streaming that we need to remind you, if you're listening to this in an audio medium, please do like us on all of those things we just talked about.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, please.
For listening to
us. We are over the moon thankful that you're with us. But please, on your favorite podcasting mechanism, give us a 5 stars and leave a review because we are so vain, we'll read it out.
Oh, my God, yes. We will. Look, I'll read out a 3 or 4 star, probably not a 1 or 2.
No.
I don't know. I might. It'd be a bit like, Ellen reading mean tweets. We could read out our 1-star reviews, but don't give us a 1-star review.
We haven't had one and I don't want one, so don't start.
No, we don't. Yeah, okay.
It's really that simple. There's so much that we have to talk about, as I said. There's something, even some sizzle, that I will drop, Nick, at the end of tonight's show so people can be prepared for that. Just keep that in your special pouches for later on because we've got heaps going on. But I think what we need to talk about is some breaking news. Nick McLaughlin, over to you at the news desk.
Oh, my God. The biggest news and unexpected. I was not prepared for your text this morning when you said, are you ready? The babies are here.
Oh, and bless.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy. So good. I'm a little put out that we have to wait until Tuesday to find out the sex of the babies and their names, but I'm here to tell you they're boys. They're boys.
We know they're boys. The photo 100%. Says they're boys. They're both in blue outfits.
I went hard on that photo. I magnified it as many times as my device would let me, which confirmed nothing. But
not a thing.
And even that, it drove me nuts. The tags, their baby bracelets, their little tags. I searched for software that could read them. I
went unintelligible. No CSI here.
No. They're boys. They're totally boys.
Yeah. Which leads me to, well, the question now is, Nick, what are the boys' names?
What are they called?
I reckon this is where we can involve the viewers and the listeners. If you're watching this live, please comment. Let us know what you reckon, Jackie and Ben. And look, huge congratulations to them. We're so stoked
The
babies have arrived, that Mum and Bubs are fine. That is huge news. What do you think their names are? Tell us.
Coming from a Croatian background, as I do, I feel like I've got a special insight into what they could call them. My first,
so what are they going to call them?
Vladimir, which is my father's middle name.
Vlad, great.
Yeah, Vlad and Boris. Who?
Nice.
Now look, my Croatian grandparents tried to marry me off to a Boris, and so who was a very nice boy, but so I'm going with Vladimir and Boris.
Great. Well, I'm up there. I reckon that boy one will be called Rasputin, and that boy two will be called Gandalf. That's what I'm just leaning heavily into.
You do that. So I'm mild. You do that.
But I reckon it's good value, Ben, right?
Ben is clearly getting no say in Ben's Australian heritage. No.
In fact, our announcement of the babies being born, friends, which, look, is all over social media, it's very official, is a bit of a DeLorean time machine problem for us, because in this episode, as you will know, Jackie announces to Ben that she's pregnant. And fast forward like 8.5 months from that moment, tonight, the babies are born, but tonight we're only learning that she's pregnant. It's huge. And next week, as we saw sizzled, only next week she tells the girls.
It's kind of like one of those stories that you read in the Daily Mail, I didn't know I was pregnant. So today, Jackie finds out she's pregnant on the day she gives birth. Oh. The miracle of television.
I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? And how great for the crossover for Foxtel. So we would love anyone that's watching, just like we did with Matt, we would love for you to comment and let us know what you reckon the boys' names are. Just through the episode, just let us know what the boys' names are.
But look, you might not think that they're both boys. The angels may be whispering to you that Nick and Malk have got it completely wrong. So let us know what you think.
In which case, it would have to be Boris and Natasha.
Oh, my God. Well done. Please. Well done.
Thanks so much.
If we had merch, we could send a prize to whoever got it right.
But we don't. So we won't.
No.
Nick, do we talk about the taglines? Do we want to just bring them to the fore for all seven ladies now?
We didn't do the taglines last week, so let's quickly go through them, shall we?
8 minutes in. We haven't talked about the episode. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, Janet, I don't like trouble unless I've caused it. Kind of a yawn.
Sure.
Honestly.
Yeah. What we expect Jackie, over this season, though?
Watch out, world, because I'm shining brighter than ever. I feel like she could have leaned into the baby thing a little bit with it. You know, Cherry, life is a journey, not a competition.
It says losers.
Honestly, and clearly she didn't have any siblings because life is so a competition.
100% a competition. Yeah.
And then Kyla.
Life is a race, Gomo. Keep up.
Kyla in the most predictable tagline in Housewives history, diamonds aren't a girl's best friend, champagne is.
Thanks, Kylie.
Blurg. Thanks, Kylie. Gamble. This one I like. I'm no fool, but I don't mind acting like one. And she's doing a good job so far.
Well, we know that with our beloved Gamble that still waters run very deep.
They really do.
In her case, they're pretty shallow at times, but she's still very deep. We're so deep with her.
They're fantastic. Yeah,
she's brilliant.
Anjalee, who we meet properly this week. Fake news I can handle. Fake people, not in this life. I can't do a British accent,
they had to be because she's a journo. The fake news thing had to come up.
Look, I don't hate that one as much as some of the others. And Simone, keep your standards high and your stilettos higher. So, which sort of goes along with my view that she is the housewife from Central Casting and the tagline. Yeah, yeah. Yep. They're not fantastic. They're not terrible, except Cherries and Kyla's. Don't love them.
No.
But let's move on.
Look, if they make it to see their next season, it would be great to see them get much better taglines. And I think that a year of the Housewives under their belt will allow them to. But, Nick, holy crap, Nick McLachlan, previously on The Real Housewives of Melbourne, we got to say hello to Cherry, who has never left her kids. We got to say hello to Kylie slash Kyla, who knows how to piss people off. And we got to say hello to Simone, who has absolutely no idea what she's walked into.
No clue. And I love her for it.
Textgate. In fact, Textgate was so important that it ended the last episode and starts this one.
And then
we are still at Soak.
We're still at Soak. Let me just have a look. Yeah, we're in Chinese Whispers territory, which is what
I did make a note of that. Thanks, Kylie.
Kylie is all it's Chinese Whispers. Yes. That I didn't mean it in a negative way. I'm not sure how you can tell someone that they need to lift their game without it being in a negative way, without suggesting that their game is shit and they need to improve it.
Yeah, look, I don't know.
That's just me. How's defending her, even though she's the one, the one who's been maligned for her fashion sense, and yet I don't understand that dynamic.
Let's just talk about some of this defending from Cherry of Kylie. She said that she likes to have control. She's not being mean. She's in the director's seat dishing out the orders. It doesn't sound like she's defending as much as she's kind of one hand in the back, pushing it forward. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like that particular friendship is, obviously happy to be proven wrong, but it's not on solid ground.
No. And the real winner this season already is the master interviews, where we cut to Gamble at that point and she agrees everybody could lift their game.
Yeah, yeah. We could all lift our game if we're
so
honest.
So let's all hang shit on Kylie. But yeah, probably
she's not wrong.
Dress up a little bit.
Yeah. And then it's time for a pedicure, which
if you could, but only for some. This is important.
That was weird. Yeah, that was weird. And not a split that I would have predicted. So Cherry, Janet and Gamble are having a pedicure. Janet sort of starts to come around and think maybe she was a bit hard on Kyla.
But Cherry is still defending Kylie, saying she's a micromanager. How is that defending her?
And Janet's like, well, look, she is a bit different from how I remembered her years ago, but, let's give it a break and give her a break. But then in the next sentence she says, but she's a bit of a fibber.
Janet is so back and forth. I think it's almost like she had this one line running through her head. Oh, I think I actually want to forgive her. Reminder, I have to have conflict with Kylie. Up in her face about this.
Yep. And then that's the end.
Meanwhile,
that is the end of the pedicure. So that was weird. Mm. We saw no toes. I'm pretty sure that there was no evidence of pedicures.
They show the feet, then what will happen is the pictures of those feet will show up on one of those foot fetishes.
But didn't I tell you that I found a foot fetish website that Cherry is on? So there's a whole page dedicated to her feet because people have taken screenshots of her YouTube videos of herself doing yoga. Weird. There's places in the internet that no one needs to go to.
Nobody needs to go there.
But anyway, we go back to the bar and Jackie is trying to tell Simone that, honestly, despite what you're seeing here, we're all inspirational.
Very. And look, Simone's response, and God bless her, she will de-vanillaize herself across the season, I hope.
I deal
with business. I don't deal with drama.
But in her head, she's going, what the fuck is going on?
What the hell is all of this?
Yeah.
But Kylie's, how's this for Kylie's excuse? I don't often think about the way that I say something.
God.
That's just, ugh.
And that's so lame. It's so lame. I did sort of like Janet coming around to trying to apologize and say, I'm not going to use a but.
Point of order. Point of order, Nick McLachlan. I don't know if you noticed this. When Janet was apologizing to Kylie / Kyla, she calls her Kylie.
No.
It gets really on the tape. I wish I'd got the clip of it now because she says something, something, something. Kylie, I think we just need to, yes.
So it's confirmed.
100%.
Because if anyone's going to know the truth about that, it's going to be Janet.
Guaranteed. Wish he would have met her as Kylie. That's the
point. Yeah, that's right. Back in the day.
So they bury the hatchet in each other's back.
Well spotted there. Yeah,
oh, which no, I'm right onto it.
Yeah, it's a rubbish apology. It's insincere and
horrendous.
But I'm there for it. I don't mind because I'm Team Janet on this one, obviously.
Well, it does open up the opportunity for Jackie to step up and to talk about why she thinks that women need to have each other back, others' backs, and she talks about her recent miscarriage. And how, you know, it's okay to cry, which Jackie is very not okay with crying, but it's okay to cry. And she shares her feelings and that she just wants everyone to have a deeper understanding of each other to be able to support each other. And I think that's a very fine sentiment that will go absolutely nowhere in the world of the Housewives.
100%. At that point, I was primed for the announcement because like it would have been cheesy to say, you know, to talk about her miscarriage and then say, but in another piece of breaking news, I'm pregnant with twins. So I'm glad that I thought that she was going to, and I would have been disappointed if she had, because it would have been poorly timed. But as it turns out, she didn't. And then in a quick about face, Kyla invites them to a champagne masterclass. Yes. End of the touchy-feely side of things.
Mm. Great tag out, though, with Simone saying that she'll only come if Kylie tells her what to wear.
What to wear.
Well played indeed. Yeah. Now, this
go,
next
I wrote,
bit,
go, you go, girl.
Mm. Yeah. So we have an ad break.
I'll cry at therapy.
And now we have what's known in the Housewives business as filler, where Cherry has invited Simone around for a little bit of cryotherapy at her favourite, what looks to be, dodgy backdoor cryotherapy.
It wasn't very fancy cryotherapy. Now, I have seen in the many, many Housewives franchises that I've watched, I've seen many cryotherapy salons. Most of them are much fancier than that.
I think some of them stick the dry ice up their digits. I think they get right into it.
You're not wrong. It looked dodge.
Mm, very out of it. But Simone does note, Cherry notes that Simone does look like a bit of a princess. And I did note that what are the benefits of cryotherapy, Nicole? The benefits are that you can freeze your tits off so you can buy some new ones.
And God loves Simone for asking about how it was going to affect her implants without
asking about foreign objects.
Correct. Because what did they think that maybe she had a pacemaker?
I went to that. I thought of some other kind of like life threatening medical kind of implement inside her body.
Did you?
I 100% did. That's where I went until. And look at us.
My light just fell off.
There's officially an earthquake in Brisbane, people. You saw it here first on the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Mark.
It will almost certainly fall down again, but.
The only thing that happened was that Nick's ring light fell over.
Live TV or, live streaming with
other than seeing Cherry and Simone get the girls out, which, look, as a red-blooded Aussie bloke, I appreciate, I did note that Cherry wore a scarf for the entire cryo session.
I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt and think that maybe there was some logical explanation.
Yes.
But no, there is no logical explanation.
There's no logical explanation. There is no explaining any of this.
I wouldn't have minded it if, because she walks in with a coat and, all that jazz and she's got the scarf, that's fine. Yes. But to leave it on with the bikini when she went into the cryotherapy tank, that was unnecessary. That was unnecessary. Like, and then she offers she offers it to Simone. What, to go with her mittens?
It makes no sense. Look, what better way to recover from a very uneventful cryo session, Nick, than have a green smoothie and a bit of a chat?
I
thought it was particularly excellent that Simone asked Cherry, how does she fit it all in? Now, I'm gathering in the second thought that I had that she was talking about her family.
Oh, mate.
And not her mother-in-law's upper thing.
Yeah. Like that whole conversation was just, these filler segments.
Oh.
I understand why we have to have them, but they're a snooze fest.
Look, it was a little bit of character development because Cherry was keen to get advice from Simone because she's always put the kids first, even though she's a powerful businesswoman and all of those sorts of things.
The kids call her the sergeant.
I know. Simone gets to drop that classic as a working mum.
Yeah, she did. And you know, all power to her. We used to call my father. We used to say that we didn't have a dad. We had a managing director because he's very strict. He's the Croatian, so. But, yeah, so, you know.
Their households are poles apart, Nick.
Could not be more different.
Not even close by long shot, mainly because Cherry has an in-home ogler that just looks at her ass and tits all the time. That's it. Now, another bit of filler lines up with Janet and Jake off to Stratosphere for the pitches for her new TAD. Now, I don't know if you've got a lot of experience in the ad game, Nick. I've got zero.
I've got a bit.
I'm keen to know, what did you think of the one and only pitch that we saw?
So we met Chris, the creative director, who gave the pitch.
Yes.
Now, my sister is an advertising copywriter. Mm-hmm. And so, look, and I've worked in advertising, so I know a little bit. I thought it was terrible. Just quite.
It was horrible.
I thought it was terrible.
It was terrible. So bad.
It was, you know, Chris, if you're watching, because why wouldn't you be? Sorry, but it was rubbish.
I think Chris is our only viewer at the moment, so it's great that Chris
is tuning in. On the upside, very happy to see Jake. Yes. Looking well, doing well.
Oh, what we did get to see this episode is, you know, some visits to the OG housewives, all grown up kids.
I know.
First of all, Jake. Nice? He's getting about doing business. We learnt last week he's got a girlfriend. Life is going great for him. Look, yep. The tea business is a sham, but we won't go into that too much. The thing that stood out for me, other than the absolutely bullshit pitch that they got, and great to see Jake, was that Janet was keen to get her housewife friends, all of them, in on it as a part of the campaign, mainly so she doesn't have to pay them. Now, this is a woman who lives in a $49 million house.
Which is the other piece of breaking news. She doesn't want to pay her friends. Two things on that. I thought it was interesting that she referred to the other housewives. It was a little bit of a peek through the fourth wall because mm-hmm. I've never heard any of them refer to each other as the other housewives, especially because some of them aren't literal housewives. So I found that interesting. It was that little look through the fourth wall, and also yes, the other big piece of Real Housewives of Melbourne news that broke this week was, you know, yes. Janet's new digs that the chemist warehouse boyfriend, God love him, yep. Silver Fox that he is.
I mean, go for it. Photo on the Unreal Housewives podcast Insta page.
Yeah. Bought a friggin' amazing house for 40. Well, they're saying between 40 and 45 million. So, you know.
49 for sure.
What is a couple of million when you're paying that much? Janet living her very best life and probably has no need for the tea business anymore, but she's she sort of dug in. I wonder if she sits there and goes.
Yeah, I'm willing to fall ass backwards into someone else's money anytime I want to come along.
Honestly,
if you'd like to talk to me, friends, contact me at Steve Mock on Twitter.
What was I doing? Anyway. Yeah. You know, good honor. Nice to see Jake doing so well because he's had a time of it. But
before we move on to the introduction of Angeli, Nick, I thought we would just double check to see if anybody has given us names. No one has beaten Rasputin and Gandalf. So far, they are the front runners.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Vladimir and Boris.
I know. It was so simple. Jackie, yeah. Ben, we know that you've been waiting to hear what we think. There's your opportunities. Now, goodness.
Here we go.
So much happens. After two filler segments, we could have just stayed with Kyla, who went to visit her friend Angeli Rao in her what the actual fuck apartment.
See, you know, that apartment, I think, is what Petit Fleur thought her apartment was.
Oh, guaranteed.
Remember?
Guaranteed.
Petit Fleur's hideous apartment with rubbish furnishing and an average view.
Yeah.
And then there's Angeli's. Which was
easily
amazing. Oh,
just
God,
looking
incredible.
Across Melbourne over
beautiful.
Most of the CBD.
Beautiful.
And I don't mean over like overlooking it, I mean over the top of
literally over the top
views.
Of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She and you know, and Kyla arrives with a gift, which was 100% a box of champagne flutes. Duh.
Well, yes, but they didn't use them, did they? But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are.
We're getting ahead of ourselves because I did love Kyla's. And look, Nick, I will tell you that I scribbled down my own notes on this. They were going a bit fast. Maybe I got some of the words wrong. but I did love the way that Kylie introduced her friend, Anjali, to us. We're very similar. We both have careers and we both love getting fucked up.
She pretty much said that. Tell me something, and this is coming from someone who, she said, we both like to drink tequila with no hands. What does that mean? Because I've never been a tequila drinker. What does that mean?
That means that because normally it's a lipstick suck scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have a shot glass of tequila, and whether it's in between labours
or on
and you lean over and grab it in your mouth. Hey.
Okay. All right.
Or a layback. I mean, someone could pour it into your mouth. There's all sorts of opportunities here.
Okay. All right. So that, and they're into Guns N' Roses, which random, but okay. Whatever.
I've got very clear opinions about that, mainly because the girls that I liked in high school that were into Guns N' Roses were of a particular type. And if they've grown up to have money, I'm willing to say that that's the kind of girl I was into.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. But enough of this. Enough of us yabbering about who we think Anjali is. I think it's important we meet Anjali Rao, Nick.
My name is Anjali Rao and I live in South Yarra. I would say that my career has been incredibly successful. You don't get to be an anchor at CNN by sort of sitting there and dreaming about it. You work your tail off. I did my breakfast show to 220 million people all over the world. And then I also had my weekly celebrity talk show. I absolutely raked it in at CNN. I had everything. I was loaded. I had my 3 yachts, boat staff, and 4 club memberships. My child had his own maid, and I could fly off anywhere around the world whenever I wanted. Come over here, get divorced, lose the lot. It's been very difficult moving over here and work falling over, but then in recent years, it's built itself up again. I have a very vibrant social life. I've got lots of friends here, which is really, really good.
Cheers, my darling.
People often perceive me to be a bitch. I think my accent also plays into that. I'm not British. I just went to boarding school there from the age of 11. I have interviewed the most famous names on the planet. The Dalai Lama, Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, Roger Federer, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Now, Nick, I have a lot to say about just that little package.
There was a lot in that little package.
In fact, I spent most of it doing one of these, which was me putting a condom on a banana.
Friend, It doesn't take much to see that I wanted to fact check because, you know, I'm a professional. It does seem that she did do all that, which is very impressive from a professional point of view. I haven't developed a strong dislike for her at this time. I think that she's quite honest compared to a lot of the others. I love the way she says, look, I was loaded. You never actually hear any of the housewives talk about how much money they actually have. And, you know, she was upfront about it, and I quite liked that she said that. I quite liked that she talked about the fact that her accent, she didn't quite say her accent is bullshit, but she does sort of say that it, you know, it's over the top and people have a perception of her because of it. So, like, I think, you know, I'm going to say I think she's, you know, she's okay so far. She hasn't pissed me off yet. There's plenty of time for that.
One, she's very Hermione Granger, and she's the accent, and she's that friend who went and spent 6 minutes in the UK and comes back with a thick British accent, right?
Yeah, but she's
boarding school since the age of 11. Come on.
She basically concedes that, you know, her accent is not because she's, it's just because she spent time there. So yeah, I'm giving her a pass on that.
She spent more time out of the UK than she has in it. Like, I'm not buying it. The other thing that really stood out, two things yeah. that really stood out for me. Yeah. One was she is the only one of the new housewives that didn't get a title card in her intro. All of the other one had this sweeping, like, and here's Simone doing her dance in front of her title card.
Did she not?
Here's Cherry. Well spotted. Angelique got nothing. Nothing. Just straight into her doing her lippy, and then my name's Angelique Rao. Look at my amazing view. The third thing that really bothered me is almost everybody that she lists off now and later, without jumping ahead, as far as people she's interviewed, all very problematic. All very problematic.
No, not the Dalai Lama.
I said almost everyone. Not everyone.
But yes, jeez, Nick, you are.
Way to just hang it on a whole, like, millions of people around the world. Jesus.
Sorry, but yeah. That's a good point. And, like, it's the first thing that you read about her in any article that you go to is yes. that exact list of people that she's interviewed. So
it's an interesting list of people to pick, isn't it?
It's a very interesting list of people.
Now, the other thing that we learned very quickly off the back of that is that Angelique loves the boys and she loves the girls.
And she likes the girls.
I don't think she's the first bisexual housewife, is she? We've had others. There's certainly allusions. Wasn't there Denise Richards controversy?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole nother thing. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
And I thought it was interesting. It's certainly
the difference is that Denise Richards denies it completely.
Yeah. Whereas while Angelique sounded like she was obviously very upset at being outed by a former partner, she's very comfortable in her skin now. Happy to be bisexual, happy to double a wardrobe, happy to do all of the things that come with boys and girls.
Two things. Yes. Kylie
looked
very uncomfortable. The words were coming out and not matching how she looked. You good on you. That's great news. Did not match.
Yes. Don't hit on facial, me.
The facial, all of that. Obviously, there was when she talked about why she was now sort of out and proud, and she told us that she had a breakup a few years ago, and that person outed her and sort of took that out of her hands, which that's fucked. But also it did lead me to a search for who that might have been.
Detective Nick, because, who was it?
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to say it definitively was this person, but she had a very ugly breakup with Jamie Dury a few years ago.
Jamie's Bunch. Wow. Formerly of The Block. In fact,
Formerly of everything. Apparently it was a bitter breakup. She didn't want to get married or have any more kids. Wait, does she have kids? She doesn't have kids.
She has a kid. Yeah, I remember she talked about how the kid had
a married. Sorry, yeah. But she was in Bali with Jamie Dury at his house in Bali, and things were getting serious, and she wasn't interested in getting that serious. She didn't want to get married, and she broke it off, and he was bitter. And, like, all the pieces fit, except that it was a little bit further back than what she's claiming. But that's...
So to make it clear, we're not asserting that it was Jamie Dury that outed Angelique Rao. What we're asserting is that he did date her once.
Okay, we're not asserting that he
I just want to make it sure for – and good evening to ASIO and the law people who are listening to the podcast. It is all – and it's allegedly. All of this is allegedly that Jamie Dury did these things that he didn't
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. I can't prove that. That is just my theory. That is my theory.
10 pages of Google can't be wrong though, friends.
I went to page 10. That's about deep. As far as I've gone in a long time.
It's deep. Lurching from one bit of breaking news to the next, I mean, Kylie talks about the bizarre situation where one minute Janet is nice to her and then she's having swipes at her. I think that maybe Kylie needs to take a good hard look in the mirror about that one. So come on over to her masterclass, please, Angelique.
Yeah, why not?
Where she says, I'll be on my best behaviour, but my best behaviour is still appalling.
Can I just say, and this is a weird, it happens in all the Housewives shows.
Sure.
That someone invites her to go somewhere tomorrow. Yes. And she's bang up for it. The fact that she's available just tomorrow. Just happens to be available.
Just to drop everything.
you know.
Off you go.
She was the one who said she had a vibrant social life. Do you think maybe she was referring more to her extracurricular social life when she said vibrant? Vibrant.
Maybe the vibrancy of her social life is kept in a second drawer.
Could be.
After the ad break, Gamble goes framing. Now, there's some interesting – straight away, we're in the second episode. The very opening frames of the first episode had Gamble in a bath with her dogs because she's breeding. And she now announces halfway through the second episode it's not working.
It's all over. She's rubbish at breeding dogs. I mean, I don't think she's rubbish. Gamby. She had like six dogs there. So – something was going on. But
the only important thing, the only important thing that comes out of this, two things. One, Gamble gets to say the word vagina a lot.
Vagina, many times.
Many times. And Mr. Blueglasses looks like he's never heard the word vagina in his life. and he certainly never framed a vagina. And that's going to be a problem for him. But Gamble's, you know, father, who painted these pictures of the reclining nudes, apparently had a bit of a thing for staring at their cooch.
I mean, it's very weird, and Luke, but hello, Luke. It was good to see Luke again. Yes. I've missed him.
He's looking very grown up, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Oh, he was very not keen to be there. Very not keen to be there. In fact, just before he turns up, just before Gamble says to the frame Mr. Blueglasses that one of these shots, looks like she's urinating because there's this, you know, yellowy kind of stripe out of the place where your urine comes from. And so I decided to call Gamble's dad Mr. Picasso.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Let's talk about Luke now. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Everyone, that's well podcasting. Done. All done. It's been great to talk to you. We're finished.
No.
Comedy well is done. Over. Thanks.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say something controversial. I didn't hate the paintings of vaginas.
I thought they were quite nice.
Completely unidentifiable as vaginas. I saw no vaginas.
I think Gamble wanted them to be more controversial than they were, if you follow my drift. I think she wanted it to be like Mona, and it was more like the art gallery.
She talked about Mona, and I think,
Sydney. Well, it's because she wanted to have, like, you know, a willy wall instead of the vagina castings or whatever. Look out, the whole table's moving on me.
I'll see.
This is what happens when you're on the road, people. Stuff vibrates and moves around like you're not ready for it.
Or it falls off even when you're not.
Your stuff falls
down.
Earthquakes in Brisbane. It's all sorts of craziness.
Oh, my God.
The only important thing that comes out of the framing is that it means that Gamble is going to have, an exhibition is coming up. And importantly, Luke is going to invite his friends, which means generation issues. There's going to be some generational problems. There's going to be lots of rolled eyes from some, you know, Gen Y, Gen Zs looking at these Gen X old women just getting pissed and angry at each other. That's all it's going to be.
I did note it was going to be
fresh blood for aging vampires.
What?
Luke bringing his friends is going to bring some new energy.
Oh, my God.
And fresh blood for
You're on fire tonight.
I'm killing it. Thanks.
I feel like we've been down this road before with Christina Bilich. And
yes, what a nightmare that was in. Was it a Melbourne or a Sydney episode? I can't even tell.
They've
been in both.
But we've been down the, you know, vagina painting road before, I feel like.
Boring. Village.
Boring.
We need to pause because we're about to do some very important stuff. And, Nick, we are racing towards the end and we're going to run out of time to talk about the really important masterclass. Jackie and Ben have gone for mocktails.
I'm so glad to see the 8th housewife again. Happy days.
Oh, I wrote that down too. The unofficial 8th housewife is back.
Did she call him Bobblebeard?
I think so, but she did also say that Jackie was missing a good glass of red, though. So much so that she had to say fuck.
I love Jackie. And I love Ben so much. When Ben said, "I love Jackie with all my heart and soul," I love him.
Yes.
I love him.
Important news sharing. She's pregnant. It's twins. And Ben,
and they were
it's your fault.
Today.
Yeah, that's right. They were born today.
This morning.
Keep up. Vladimir and Rasputin, Boris and Gandalf, whoever they're going to be, they're all coming down the pipes. Jackie's stoked. Jackie's crying. Ben's going to cry. They want to keep everything low-key, understandably, after miscarriages and IVF traumas. Mm-hmm. They want to keep it on the down low. but everyone's crying. And this Insta family is going to be amazing for the Gillies, and I'm here for it. This, remember, if you remember, and long-time listeners of the podcast will remember, Nick and I have been promoting the fact that we need to have a spin-off series about Ben and Jackie. And now that they've got a family, Foxtel, sign the deal.
Yeah, well, like,
who doesn't want to see Ben and Jackie with twins and not Kobe?
That's perfection in reality TV would be those four.
All we want is a producer credit. That's all we want.
Nothing more. No, nothing more.
It's going to be I loved that segment. I loved that Jackie was drinking mocktails and Ben had one with her just to sort of do it out of joy and sympathy and love. I love that they loved each other. I love that Jackie was teary. I love that there was so much hope in it. And, of course, we then get to relish in the fact that they stuck, that we get right through to the end. It was just delightful. And so the important lesson.
You're giving me goosebumps now.
Yes. Well, the important lesson right at the end of it, friends, Ben absolutely nailed it. You don't break up with Croatians. That's scary.
Let me tell you, he's not wrong.
No. Well, and well played, Ben. You jizzed in a cup. It's got inside your wife. The doctors have done their bit. And now you're going to have twin boys. Amazing.
So lovely.
Amazing.
So lovely. It's
speaking of twin
time.
Boys. Yeah, we moved to the Champagne Masterclass and Kylie has a small penis sword in her hand.
Oh, my God, the Sabrage sword. God.
I just can't. I never understood it. And even when she explained it, I didn't understand it.
The Napoleon story.
But
it's
I don't
such
understand
a yawn.
It.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Mate, you know what you do? You take the cork out because opening it with a sword wastes good champagne.
This is what I think. But it was so full of cliches. I am in my natural environment. I did love the motorboating of Jackie's boobs because
mate, continuing the boob trend,
not wrong.
Right? Mm. The boob trend that started earlier at the cryogenic, Jurassic Park world.
Yep.
I mean, who doesn't want to motorboat Jackie's boobs? To be frank, I think we'd all line up. Pay a fiver and she'll have money for the twins forever.
I'd do it for free. Let's be real.
But all of the girls in their dressed up in their finery, and this was really their first real opportunity to dress up. It was boobs out. They were all getting it on, but Jackie couldn't contain them. It was very clear she's way past like the 12 weeks that they wanted to hold off and not tell people. There's been some creative clipping.
There's not a maternity bra in the world that was holding those in.
And right to the end, and probably even more so now. She's in a world of pain, that girl. What I did enjoy, though, is when they turned up, it was a bit of groups turn up. Gamble and Cherry and Janet arrived later and blah, blah, blah. Janet was concerned that in watching Kylie, she's going to need the champagne for the next few hours. That's the only way she'll get through it.
She's not wrong about that.
That everyone was so couture, Nick.
Very couture. I don't know that Gamble's fascinator was couture.
No, it certainly wasn't French, as Kylie pointed out.
French.
I don't think she attempted for it to be.
Unless I missed some reference to Gamble making some reference to her outfit representing the French flag, I don't think she ever intended it to, and I think it was really, really mean. It was flat out mean.
I mean, 100%
of Kylie
being
to
mean.
Say, yeah.
Gamble's, is want to put on an accent. As she said, she talks to her dogs in German for some reason. But she talks to her dogs and she rocked out an accent. No one understands what happened. And then Angelie turns up and Jackie was vibing on the announcement that Angelie turns up. And the first thing, before we even get to the Angels turning up.
So great.
It's boob talk akimbo. There's so many boob talks. Everyone's talking about boobs. Angelie's talking about her boobs. She's a small frame woman. She's got the big boobs. Jackie's got boobs. Everyone's talking about the boobs. But right from the get-go, Gamble does not like Angelie at all.
Gamble was like, I see you. I do not like you.
I'm going to tear you down.
And she really, I just love how Gamble gets phrases wrong. There's a term for that, isn't there, where people mix up their phrases. So she said, Angelie's like a lead balloon name dropper.
Yes.
We know what you mean. I think, God love you.
Yeah, I think that the phrase, the name for that, Nick, is called a gamble. Thanks very much. Comedy's over.
Oh, my God.
I appreciate everybody. I'm on fire. It's so great. Anyway, we need to get over
the
fact.
She does get, So this is one of the two best lines, yes, I think, of the episode, where she said if she'd fucked the guys or the people that she interviewed, yes, that'd be interesting. Beautiful.
Straight to the heart of the matter is our gamble. She doesn't muck around. Of course, the class starts and Kylie introduces herself. But, of course, I'm probably better known by my moniker, the bubbly bitch.
Ugh.
So, I know, it's just...
Honestly, all Janet wants... Oh, sorry, go on.
Kylie starts with a history of champagne, and I wrote, shit, even I'm bored. Now I need a drink.
Well, all Janet wants is her beverage. She doesn't want to know the history of champagne. She just wants her beverage. And then we get the line of the season so far. And I'm going to say it's going to be hard to top it.
Deliver it. Come on.
I didn't write down the exact one, but I'm going from memory here. Yes. Gamble is holding a beer and says to Kyla, hey, Kyla, can you use my sword or your sword on this?
How about we find out exactly what Gamble said.
Kyla, can you open this with a sword?
Gamble bought beer to the Champagne Masterclass.
Is it okay if I drink beer because I get too drunk on champagne?
I can do that with my sword.
I'm really trying not to take offence to this, you know? I mean, I was hoping that she might try the champagnes.
Oh, no, Gamble, don't.
Look at her.
Gamble, do it.
Oh, my God, don't, you hurt. You're making me nervous.
Kyla wasn't having any part of that. I thought that was hilarious.
It looks like you're doing something to you. You're making me nervous, Gamble. Put my sword down.
Because the attention was taken off Kyla for a minute and her sword, she's like, I'm not having that. And you could clearly see her get a bit upset, but she tried to hide it with humor. I was like, this girl is not happy with you, Gamby.
I like this sword.
I didn't find that sword terribly, like, dangerous, was it? It wasn't like a samurai sword, was it? I didn't even know.
I'm just going to go and find a bottle opener.
Oh. Bring your own bloody sword, love.
There's so much. We could spend the next 10 minutes of this show just talking about that clip.
Jackie
nails it. She absolutely nails Kyla on her, it's all about me, give me back my sword. Me.
The attention was taken off her. You know what I love? It was a tallie. It wasn't just
a proper tallie.
It was a tallie.
Yeah, it was.
Which makes it even better.
It was amazing. Bring your own bloody sword, love. Look, there's so much that goes on in this masterclass. A lot of it is boring, and it's Kylie talking about how great she is about everything. There was something that stood out, and that was the talk about that every lady must know how to open a bottle of champagne. Now, as a good lady, I know how to do this, Nick. but Janet is fearful of the cork. And look, who can blame her? Because there have been times in people's lives where the cork has caused quite an injury. I mean, for goodness sake, all Jackie had to do was walk past a cork and she got knocked up.
Right. Another one. So good.
I'm just entertaining myself now. Keep going.
Mate, I did not know the bit about how you're supposed to leave the cage. See, I took it as a learning opportunity. I didn't know you're supposed to leave the cage on with the cork. I thought you hoiked that off and then you did that and then you did that. And I didn't know about – I don't care. I do not care.
Janet wasn't keen. She didn't like it. There was a bit of role-playing about how Janet likes to open a champagne bottle. To be frank, with her massive home now – and Hugo at the hand.
She's got people for that. She's
got people to open it, that's for sure. Yeah. Look, there's more talk of boobs. Janet knows that, you know, the big glasses are Marie Antoinette's boobs. It was the big thing this episode.
Did you know that? I knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
I think most people know that.
I was going to call you Janet. Nick, I'm a red-blooded heterosexual man that watches The Housewives. I know that those glasses are about boobs.
I love Simone at this point. She is white girl wasted at this point.
She's having a dance. She's doing everything. So good was the editing on that.
And, like, she didn't need to say anything. She just needed to sit there and watch all this happen around her.
Simone getting drunk wasn't enough for Jackie, though. Jackie was – she zoned out. So fucking boring. She was not into it, but she did enjoy cheering on Simone, who at this point – drunk Simone decides the masterclass is over. We need to play a game of Never Have I Ever. Except that Simone is so drunk and has probably never played it before. So what does she call it?
She calls it I have never.
I have never played this game. Drink?
And Kyla is dying that something as crass as never have I ever is going to happen at her masterclass.
Very it's fantastic. Precious.
And can we just, you know, give credit where credit's due to the producers for coming up with this idea? Because I'm taking a stab in the dark and saying that Cherry did not think of this idea.
No, it 100% it got well out of control really quickly. And I did enjoy, out of all of them, some were pretty boring presets. In fact, even, let's be fair, Jackie, when they bring up the idea of threesomes, poo-poos that whole. We don't need to talk about that, which means that she's had one.
100%.
But beyond
Janet saying that she hadn't, like, she had to drink
all of them because she hadn't done any
of them. Oh, no, she's except for sex on a plane,
which was amazing. Never have I ever had sex on a plane. Everybody drinks. And Simone, all we get out of her is fucking first class baby, and she spells that baby. It is on.
I kind of love
I want to party with that woman. I want to party with that woman. It's going to be amazing. Now, coming out of this, controversy.
God. So, again, come in producers. Cherry says... Yep. Never have I ever had bad thoughts about any of the women here today. Now, first of all, that is not a real never have I ever question. No, it's just not. And I feel like the producers could have been a bit more.
Please,
but anyway, it did open up a floodgate of drama.
Yes. Oh, look, it basically opened the doors for Gamble and Anjali to just go at each other's throats. And we learned about histories about a podcast where Gamble had apparently asked Anjali to make fun of Kylie/Kyla, except that all of the history that we've learned about this was that Gamble wouldn't have known who Kylie was then.
So there's a big flaw in whoever
none of this makes sense.
Planned this. So my theory is that this was worked out between Anjali and Kyla, that they – Kyla has gone, I need to what's the word? Go for Gamble's jugular. How am I going to do that? I'm going to rope in my friend Anjali.
Anjali's going
to,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's pretty like unashamed in how that all happens. But we do get probably the best little interchange of the night where Gamble's looking at Anjali and goes, wow, you really are full of shit. Cut to Gamble's master interview where she says, you don't come at me. I've got 12 personalities ready to go. Right? That's what Gamble drops on this. And in Anjali's master interview, she says that that woman is nuttier than squirrel poo. And I mean, that's a bit of a – it's an old one to roll out, but it was great in the interchange.
In the context of that.
Yeah. To be fair, we came up with two better titles for the Champagne Dame last week with the bubbly bitch and whatever the other one that wasn't as good. Smelly air. That's not a thing.
Honestly, I think that's a little bit funny. I think that – If the only thing I will say is that does sound like something that Gamble would have come up with, smellier.
Now, an outrageous move for Real Housewives all around the world. Gamble retires to the bar to talk to Janet. There's some big feelings. Gamble absolutely denies that anything has gone on. They come back and there's a reconciliation. The episode ends with a truce and a hug. And Cherry just wants to empower everybody. Anjali and Gamble hug. We are ready to move on. What the hell?
In the world's most insincere hug. I've written that here capitals.
All I said was none of this is going to end well later in the season. We will race back to this moment at some point. Something is going to happen.
And look, I've written, do we think Kyla planted the story? Absolutely. That is my theory.
Kylie's made this up.
Sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. So... Next week on The Real Housewives of Melbourne, Jackie and Ben get
ultrasound,
scan
and
more is, which you'd expect. Anjali and Gamble meet up independently to make peace and bury the hatchet in each other's backs. Kylie and Kyla.
It's Kyla v. Kiri. I think we're going to see the beginning of the end.
Yes, she's not. Kylie says, "I'm not leaving the relationship to save the business."
I mean,
so
can you imagine if you heard that from your significant other?
Like, I just can't even. Anjali's housewarming pool party. at the pool deck, which is about 80 floors up, and they all fly off to Cairns, Nick.
Now, did they go? Was it the Sydney ladies went to Port Douglas?
Yes.
A few years back, but they definitely went to, was that Port Douglas? And that was Sydney.
Yes.
Okay. So the first cast trip, it's a lot of Camilla. There'll be a lot of Camilla caftans.
Yes.
Is my prediction. I'll have to like dig mine out.
Yes, and please.
Wear it.
And I will point out that obviously this was all filmed under COVID conditions. So they couldn't fly overseas. You know, they had to go wherever they could get. And in this case, it was only getting to Australia. So they might as well go somewhere like Cairns. That's all I could do.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing whether they actually get out of Cairns and go, you know, into the rainforest. Do they go out onto the reef?
Who knows where? Who knows what and where they're going to go? But guaranteed, it'll just be a lot of people bitching at each other the whole time. That's what we're going to get.
Oh.
Now, Nick.
Oh, sorry.
Jackie does end it up.
Sound stuff going on. Yep, go on.
Jackie does end it with, I'm praying for a trip without drama. One can only wish. Friends, we know there's going to be drama. That's the Housewives, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
We're not here. We're not here because of the lack of drama.
Oh, Jesus, no. Look, Nick, that was a solid second episode. I think it's setting us up really well.
Really solid.
Some filler I think better pay off later in the season.
Yeah, I know.
One of Simone's implants is frozen and she needs to get it replaced. Anyway, sorry.
Because honestly, if I don't see Gamble's father's artwork, I'm not going to.
Oh,
care.
God. No. But I do want to see the party and I do want to see arguments.
I do want to see
every
the party.
Every time we've had an exhibition, there have been arguments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's look, what Luke we love and his about friends are. Remember Luke's 21st? We were all there. Mm.
Yes.
So that could get messy.
Made no sense that they were all at Luke's 21st. Friends, we're so glad that you've been watching us live. For those that have been on Facebook and on Instagram, I'm pretty sure it was on Instagram. It'll be on our IGTV.
Didn't we? Yeah,
Matt did tell us that, but then everyone buggered off. I think they're enjoying the fact that there's too much else to do in the world than to listen to us rant, and they're just going to listen to us the podcast, Nick McLaughlin.
Yes, they should listen to us on the podcast.
So you can find us on the Unreal Housewives Facebook page. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. That's all important. Like I said at the top of the show, make sure that when you do get us on the podcast, you subscribe, you leave us a 5-star rating, and you give us a bloody great review because we'd love to read it out and tell you all about it. We've got some lovely comments, by the way.
Tell all your friends.
Oh, God, yeah. Bloody subscribe them, and even if they didn't want to.
Just get hold of their phone podcast and just hit the plus thing on the podcast app. Do that.
My mic's going on and off. It's really important that you do that because that will help us with our numbers.
Indeed.
Nick, we're at that point in the show where we need to talk about who's our MVP and who's our bad girl for the episode.
Best on ground, Gamble, for me.
Guaranteed. She's ready to fight the power. Any woman that grabs the penis sword and goes her beer with it, I'm into.
I love how she went. It's not really a samurai sword. It is kind of like a samurai sword, but
blunt as shit though. It's just there to cut the glass. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So definitely best on ground, and in terms,
Angela's stormed in as the bad girl. Surely.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
She just wants to fight everyone.
I do feel like the Angela being the bad girl is a bit engineered, as opposed to Kyla, who it's very easy to despise Kyla.
I still have my money on her as the storm out this season. That she goes.
You reckon? Okay.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Okay, that's a big call.
We'll have to get into that next week. The sizzle that I dropped at the top of the show, friends, Gamble is in the upcoming season of Celebrity Apprentice on Channel 9, filming right now, airing on 9 in 2022. That's not the real sizzle, but I wanted to make it sound like it was. Our actual real sizzle is that next week, we'll have an actual housewife on the show.
I know. We are like proper professional podcasters who have
absolutely
access
for real
proper professional housewives.
We'll leave it to you to work out if it's pre-recorded or not. We'll see if you can work that out for yourselves. But we're definitely going to have a housewife on the show. We're definitely going to ask them the hard questions. Nick's going to yarn event the shit out of this. We're so glad that you can join us for this great ride that is the Unreal Housewives podcast with Nick and Malk. I have been Steve Malk.
And I have been Nick McLaughlin.
And you better bloody join us next week, friends. So great to have you on board.
Bye.